Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, taking your reaction to the Titans and their game last night, preseason game number two against the Seattle Seahawks. Corey Curtis will be with us. Normally at 8 o'clock, he'll be with us here in about 15 minutes at 8:15. We'll get his impressions on what he saw from the Titans last night. We will continue to take your reaction to the Titans at 615-737-1025. We do have some breaking news to pass along.
Mm-hmm.
Not that this is necessarily surprising, but it is now Pete Thamel official, which is pretty reliable. Pete Thamel of ESPN has put it out there. Quote, sources: Tennessee has named true freshman Faison Brandon the starting quarterback. He'll debut for the Vols against Furman coming up on September the 5th. Brandon, former top 10 overall recruit, five-star for the Vols. So Faison Brandon has been named the starting quarterback for Tennessee. Joe, your quick reaction to that, and I will get pretty heavily in that on tomorrow's show, but your quick reaction to Faison Brandon being named the starter for the Vols.
Yeah, well, the people who were adamant about this all along, probably from the spring, were right. Early on, you heard, you know, George McIntyre making a push. I think he's a talented guy. I think we're going to see George McIntyre starting at a Power Four program at some point in his career. You hope that what this means is Brandon's talent is just undeniable, and it's time to get going with him, and you have to be ready for a true freshman in the SEC. It's not easy. There's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some probably some ups and downs, but you also should be pretty excited, I think, as a Vols fan about the possibility of what you could have with him. And having a possible starting quarterback for this many years with Josh Heupel, it's what we thought was going to happen with Nico. Nico got the benefit of that redshirt year. Faison Brandon does not get that benefit, but you might have something, you know, really special here if you can keep growing. And the way that Josh Heupel develops quarterbacks, it's a pretty good combination.
Yep, and we've talked about it, you know. Two young quarterbacks battling it out. One's going to win the job, and then you wonder what that means for the other one and their future moving forward here. But, you know, now the question is, how good is he, right? How ready to play at a high level is Brandon right now? Well, again, we'll get into that throughout the week and on tomorrow's show in pretty heavy detail. But Faison Brandon, the starting quarterback for Tennessee. So some breaking news to pass along on that front. Titans win yesterday 19-16 against the Seahawks. Did not go well for the starters. I think the offense for the starter, or the starting offense, probably uninspired is the best way I would put it. I mean, it wasn't completely horrible. Like, Ward didn't have a ton of big misses out there, but they just missed out on a couple of big plays. Like, Tate got his fingers on a ball that he probably needs to come down with. Gunnar Helm did not get a second foot down on a play on the sideline. That throw wasn't perfect, could have been better, but also a play I'd like to see the starting tight end get his feet in bounds on. You know, Ward sailed one to Tate coming across the middle where he was pretty well covered on there. So, you know, would have been a dangerous throw had he put it right on him. So, all in all, like, it wasn't bad from Cam Ward last night. But, again, you're talking about a starting offense going up against backups from Seattle that really just didn't get anything done. And that's the bottom line. They just didn't do much out there. They had a couple of nice runs. They had a nice kind of a swing pass to Tony Pollard for 33 yards. That was the big play of the game last night for the Titans offense. But just not a whole lot going on. And defense, you know, we talked about Cam Ward and kind of being a disaster in week one in the preseason. Well, the disaster yesterday was the starting defense. The starting defense against Drew Locke and the backups for Seattle just got shelled, quite frankly. I mean, there's a coverage bust that they give up a 30-plus yard touchdown, and then you allow basically a 70-yard run right up the gut against your starting defense with the backup Seahawks offensive line, and at that point their third running back. That's just – it's not what you want to see from your starters yesterday.
No, the defense has been the bigger, I think, disappointment overall now since we've started to see the Titans actually encounter other teams. The offense got, you know, like Cam was better, certainly, for from preseason game one to preseason game two. He was fine. You want better, absolutely. Some people are totally focused on Cam. It's Cam first, second, and third, and some people are already out on him. And if that's the case, you could use last night to. I mean, some people have reacted that way today, like Cam stinks, and last night was more proof. I mean, I thought he was okay. He was way down the list of issues, and he made some good plays. The defense is, I don't know, man. The secondary, we talked about corners after the first game. Now, to me, the safeties were really, you're starting safeties, and that tandem is obviously very important. And you had a bust on the one touchdown pass, and you had just terrible angles and fits all across the board in the second and third level on the touchdown run. Plus, your defensive line, which is supposed to be the strength of the team, missing one key guy, but pushed around too much by a backup offensive line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's not what you're looking for in the preseason. I mean, if you're going to play the starters, particularly if the starters end up going against the backups, like, you need to see them perform much better than they have to this point. Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Robert Stanley, Joe Rexero, Ian Safari. How y'all doing, man?
Hey, buddy. Good, Mark. What's going on?
Joe, you know, I listened to y'all talking earlier about Deshaun Watson. It's really a shame, man, how I thought he was going to be a superstar back in the day, four score or 7 years ago, man. I mean, that's what I called him. I thought he was going to be an elite superstar in this league, and he's never really taken accountability for the things that happened off or transpired off the field. And the comments he made the other day, you probably can't really, like Robbie said, you probably can't start this guy now, man. You just have to eat the money and go on. You can't cut him because they'd be, what, over $120 million on the cap, from what I've heard. So you're going to have to hold on to him. But Shadur is that guy now, and I'm looking forward to that, see what Shadur can do. But last night, Joe, I saw some things missing with the Titans. I saw that Cam doesn't really have a connection with Tate as he should by now, or Ridley. He was way off on a lot of his, on several of his throws. Helm, you know, that was a good catch, but he really, I don't think, kept his feet in bounds. Pollard had a good run, but I just don't think Cam's on the same page with his two guys, his number one and two wide receiver right now, and he's going to have to get that together. And the defense didn't look that good either, man. Like Robert said, they got gashed last night. That's not a good look. Sala's supposed to be this defensive guru. He needs to get that fixed with the Tennessee Titans. But other than that, it was a pretty good game. They ended up winning the game, but that's just preseason. But, hey, Joe, Robert, y'all have a good day,
thank
man.
You,
I just wanted to holler at y'all for a minute.
Appreciate you, man.
I'll see y'all later.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
thanks,
see you, Joe.
All right, buddy.
I'm not worried about Tate. I'm really not. Like, I think I understand you would have liked to have seen them through two preseason games get a catch. That'd be nice at some point here to get that going. I still, like, Tate, as the season goes along, I think he's going to turn into a pretty good player. So we'll see what happens on that front. You know, Ridley, I don't really know what to make of Ridley right now.
We haven't heard much about him at all.
Haven't heard much about him, and I just, you know, at this stage of his career, what's he going to be able to give you this year? I mean, obviously, the conversation starts with the quarterback, right? Like, how good is Cam Ward going to be? Because some of it is reliant on the skill positions, and we feel like he's in a much better spot there than he was a year ago. You know, we've talked about his mechanics today. We've talked about, you know, throws that get away from him. It is the preseason. You got to keep that in mind in terms of the game planning and all those things. I just think uninspiring is the word I keep coming back to with the offense at this point. It's just been very uninspiring through the first two preseason games. And it's not the end of the world. It doesn't automatically project to failure by the time the regular season comes around. But I do think, as a Titans fan who, you know, going into Ward's second year, you brought in Robinson, you drafted Tate. Yeah, there was some concern about the offensive line. I think the offensive line, based on what we've seen to this point in the preseason, is probably in a better spot than anybody anticipated. And everything else is way behind what they anticipated to this point, at least in the games that we've seen. So that's where things currently stand with the offense, in my mind.
Yeah, on the receivers, I have a take. It may be hot. It may be warm. I think Alec Iermanner is going to overtake Ridley. I think he's going to get more production, more targets this year than Ridley. I think Ridley's on the decline. And I just – the Tate thing, this is – I said this earlier, but I think this is where practice can provide context that can be valuable. Remember 2 years ago, Levis and Ridley, practice, can't connect, missing. All, it was – right? I think it was 2 years. Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Yep.
And then we saw that in preseason games. We saw it in real games. It was a real thing. Well, Ward and Tate have been – have had some days of just lighting it up, you know, again – secondary, but still, like, they seem to have chemistry. They seem to be on the same page. They seem to be making plays. So I wouldn't look at a handful of snaps and a couple targets in a preseason game and make a judgment. I think the practice context helps you calm down on that one. Whereas with Ridley, the practice contents fed it and was like, see, this is a consistent daily thing that's missing.
That's a good point. 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us for his weekly visit coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We head to our phone line. Welcome in Corey Curtis to the program, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, Robert, I am a delight. I am stoked and ready to go.
Well, you had a little late night football last night for the Titans in preseason game number two. That is now 2-0 for the Tennessee Titans in the preseason. So keep that
in
mind.
I think they're 7-1 in their last 8 preseason games.
They're a juggernaut.
You're darn right.
Juggernaut.
They're the Detroit Lions.
Oh. Yeah. Are you calling an 0-for this year?
But didn't they go 4-0 and then 0-16?
They did.
They sure did.
Maybe the most incredible Marinelli accomplishment in history.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty good stuff. Very uninspiring from the starters last night, Corey, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the offense. Yeah. And look, I didn't think Ward was, like, bad in the game, but they just didn't get a whole lot done out there offensively. And the starting defense, I mean, you let Drew Lock just march up and down the field on you, score touchdowns, then you give up a 70-yard run right up the middle of your defense against Seattle's backup. So, obviously, that's not good. What's your concern level on both sides of the ball right now with the starters based on what we've seen in the games so far in the preseason?
Well, I mean, I think defensively, I know everybody's going to jump to Cam Ward, and I understand it, but I mean, the defense was supposed to be the strength of your football team. Everybody was like, oh, well, the defense, you know, the offense is going to have to catch up, but the defense should keep them in games and give them a chance to compete and see them, struggle the way they did has to be a little alarming. You know, obviously the touchdown to Arroyo's on a busted assignment, but then you give up the 69-yarder. And again, these are the backups, and, you know, you had your starters out there. It's got to be alarming. You know, whatever's wrong has got to get fixed. I mean, because that's certainly not good enough. And then, you know, offensively, you would like to put some points on the board for sure. And, you know, if you watched practice last week, a lot of what they did with that short passing game and taking what the defense gives you is what they worked on in practice. So it was an extension of that. And, you know, some of it was good. You know, the ball to Tony Pollard where you give him an opportunity to run with it after he catches and he goes for 33 yards. And some of it's, you know, not so good. Some plays that need to be made, some throws that need to be, you know, a little bit better. You know, 4th-and-1, you know, you run up the middle and, you know, you're going against backups. So you like to think your offensive line is going to win that battle. And then I also don't know if Tajay Spears is the guy I want to give it to on 4th-and-1, but they did. And so there's not about last night with the starters that you looked at. You said, wow, they're ready to go. I think that, you know, that's the only good thing is that it's the preseason. And that, you know, your hope is that, you know, they're better in week one than they are right now, which is the way it's supposed to be.
On the defense, Corey, I'm and this is an obvious reaction to what we saw last night, but I'm a little worried, and not just because of last night, if we're a little bit late on Amani Hooker and still a little bit early on Kevin Winston, and that combination is going to give you issues at safety this year.
Yeah, no, it could be. I mean, you know, Hook's been in the league for a while, and, you know, I think there was some drop-off to his play, you know, last year. You know, they are in a new system, so I don't know how much of it is that. And, you know, Winston hasn't played a lot of football in the last 2 years. And so, you know, he is, you know, you watch him in practice and it's clear, you know, athletically he's a special kind of player. But like you're talking about, you know, is it still just too early for him, where he's just not, he's not that ready? Now, look, I don't see another option, okay?
No.
I don't see somebody else on the roster just screaming, I'm going to take his job. And, you know, you won 6 games in 2 years. I think you have to be prepared to take some lumps with some guys who you think are the future of your football team. But, you know, they're called safety for a reason. And when they're not that, it can be a problem.
2 games in the preseason, I think it's 6 drives, Corey, for the starting offense. And they have not been able to get Carnell Tate a catch yet. I don't want to overreact to it. It's preseason. It's 6 drives. How much, I guess, do you worry about that right now with those two, Ward and Tate, if you're a Titans fan?
Well, I mean, I think I've seen enough in practice to where I think they're going to get him the football. I'd like to see him get open, you know. I'd like to see him create separation, you know. I mean, because there hasn't been a ton of it, you know, to this point. But everybody knows he's the first-round pick. Everybody knows they want to give him the football. But he's going to have to rise to the challenge, and he's going to have to, you know, get better when the lights, you know, go on. But they all have to get better when the lights go on. But, you know, for as easy as he made it look in practice at times, you know, I think it's fair to say we all expected more in these first 2 preseason games. I think it's okay to be disappointed.
We were talking earlier, you know, Corey, it always comes up, and it is worth, it's context that's important, but not game planning, running base stuff, like this is, let's run some plays, let's evaluate guys, let's let guys work together, but it's not the same as an actual game where you really dig in on the opponent and finding weaknesses and all that stuff. But with Tate, would you look at this week and this third preseason game as, you know what, there's a kid who, like, let's put some stuff in for him just to get him the ball and let him feel good before you actually get into a game week?
Yeah, I mean, I'd want to get the ball in his hands. I wouldn't want to go into that first game where, you know, he couldn't catch a pass in 3 weeks against 3 teams of backups. I don't think confidence-wise that's a great look. And I think, you know, what you're saying is true about the game planning and everything, but you're still starters against backups. And you'd like to think that in a vanilla situation, you dominate that. Because it's not like Mike McDonald is, you know, throwing the house at you with his backups, you know, with all sorts of intricate schemes defensively. You know, that door swings both ways. And, you know, you'd like to think the fourth pick of the draft wins some of those battles. So some of it's on him. Yes, you've got a game plan, some, you know, probably to make sure he gets the football. But, you know, when he's playing a guy who's a sixth-round draft pick from Idaho State, and I'm making that up, but that's generally who a lot of these guys are.
Idaho State taking strays.
You know, he's got to win some of those battles. He's got to create some space, and he's got to create, you know, good opportunities. You know, you can argue whether he should have caught the ball on the sideline route or not, but, you know, they need more.
So have we officially reached the point, Corey, in the preseason where we are not only no longer worried but somewhat excited about Joey Sly? I mean, he's been the star of the preseason so far. 4-4 yesterday.
He's been,
beast.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That first one, the 55-yarder, was it me or did that thing change directions 3 times?
It really kind of looked like it did. It was like a golf ball that just got caught up in the wind.
I'm like, where is that thing going? And it goes right down the middle. You know, he's outside of the 2-for-4 at the team scrimmage of the blue and white game, he's looked excellent. You know, I'd heard he was Bones Fossil's guy and he was never in jeopardy. And, you know, look, what was he, an 80-something percent kicker last year?
Yeah, 85.
And he's got to be better than that, especially for a team that's not there yet, you know, offensively. But I also don't want to get, you know, where last year, where, like, once they crossed midfield, you're like, oh, thank God Joey Sly can give them a chance to score here, you know. I'd rather see Joey Sly kicking more PATs. Too many field goals at this point. But you know what? If he has found a way to be more consistent, you know, then he'll find a football team for a long time, and – it'd be nice for the Titans to have that position locked down for a few years.
Why the heck is Hendon Hooker not getting some opportunities, darn it? This is my question.
Yeah.
Clutch moment, trying to seal the game. They let him throw the ball. Yeah. Dot. Absolute dot. And then we also watched Will Levis play last night.
That fourth and one quarterback sneak was one of the worst quarterback sneak efforts I've ever seen in my life.
That was not great.
He stood up and just kind of fell over. He looked like a tree.
You know, focusing on the positive.
He's not getting enough reps in practice, Corey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, well, he's not getting any reps in practice, so that's true. Nice ball, big pass down and to seal the game. So good for him.
Is he going to get cut?
His best moment was fourth and two on the run play. You know, the thing is, like, Will, like, last week in practice, there were a couple times I thought he looked really good. I thought he was having some of his better practices, and it's look, none of it's good enough with anybody right now. I just think that's safe to say. And, I understand they're trying to build confidence, and you're not going to go to your podium after the game and say, we're terrible. But, it feels a little too rosy right now in the post game.
Hey, I'm with you. They won the game, too. That's the other thing. You know, it's 7-1, like you pointed out, Corey. I mean,
that's right.
This preseason
7
football,
and one.
I'll go ahead and call my shot. They'll get to 8-1.
You know, like week. In the NBA, how they have like the early season tournament.
Yeah,
they could have a preseason postseason.
I agree.
They should, a preseason playoffs.
They also should have a Titans preseason Ring of Honor, and Julius Chestnut is now
first team
cemented.
Yeah,
he is a preseason All America.
He always
looks good.
He always looks good.
Like he's strong. He runs the ball well. I mean, I'll say something. You guys are probably going to laugh at me, but I don't care. I think if you put Julius Chestnut to it, if you put Joey Chestnut in the backfield, you have a problem. But
he gobbled up those yards.
He gobbled yards and he'd eat the ball. but if you put Julius in the backfield for 17 games, I have no question he could be a 1,000-yard runner.
Yeah.
Number one, it's not that difficult. That's like 60 yards a game. But
easy.
He is a good runner of the football. He's low to the ground. He's strong. He keeps his balance. He lowers his pads. Is he spectacular? No, but I do like watching him play.
Chestnut and Kinsey, first two preseason inductions into the Hall of Fame.
Pass?
I don't think so.
No, he held.
Is over.
He cost Chestnut about 30 yards last night with a hold that had
no bearing on the play.
Not important. Yeah. Not good.
Not good. Corey, great stuff as always, sir. Thank you for taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you next Monday.
All right, fellas. It was a joy. Thank you for pushing me back today.
Of course.
I'm doing my dadly duties. Say hi, Ava.
Hi.
Hey, Ava. Ava with us on the program this morning.
Driving to school today. We were supposed to be done by now, but someone might have overslept.
Their
name rhymes with Shmeva.
Hey, it's the preseason in school, too, kind
That's
of,
right.
okay?
It kind of is the preseason in school. By the way, she's the starting kicker on the Woodland Middle School football team now, and we're all really proud and
Let's
excited.
Go.
That's what I'm talking about. Good stuff. Corey,
awesome.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Congrats.
Later, guys.
Corey Curtis brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Dan Orlovsky has weighed in with his thoughts on Cam Ward. And I got something that I noticed in last night's Titans game that kind of bothers me, and it has nothing to do with the actual football team. We'll get into that. Mm. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. A lot of people weighing in today in the aftermath of the Titans game. We appreciate it. Keep it coming. I would describe the mood as poor, Joe Rex Road. Not a good mood. After the Titans' performance last night.
There's a lot of legitimate complaints.
There are.
A lot of legitimate complaints. So then we don't need like stuff like this text who says, does the coaching staff wearing hoodies, in all caps, during late August preseason games bother you like it does me? Huh?
I mean, like where?
We got lots of stuff to legitimately complain about here.
Down the list.
Yes. It's amazing. We were actually going to spend the rest of the show on their hoodies.
I did joke about it earlier, if they suck this year, very quickly into the year, we're going to get a – maybe if Sala spent less time running the stairs before the game and more time in the film room, they'd be better.
Oh, yeah. We'll get that. And seed oils will be brought up again.
Oh, yeah.
So you can count on that.
It's going well so far. No seed oils in the preseason games.
Maybe a little bit of nice sesame seed oil would, cause fewer miscommunications.
Maybe so. Dan Orlovsky, who we talked about last week, his evaluation of Cam Ward, which Titans fans did not like. He was asked about Cam Ward and his performance through the preseason this morning on Get Up on ESPN. Here's what Dan Orlovsky had to say.
I'm not worried about him, but I don't feel great right now. It's very uninspiring through 2 weeks, the disconnect that he's had with really both of his receivers. I've mentioned it in the highlight, the Carnell Tate connection just has not happened. We haven't seen Ridley have a connection. There's misses, and so the only receiver that he's shown, at least through 2 weeks in the preseason game-wise, to have that good connection with has been Wandale Robinson, their free agent signing. So it's been uninspiring and disconnected so far in Tennessee.
I didn't know that they were having a rock concert with their segments now.
Is that John Tesh? Synth?
The music bringing up the mood there a little bit. But Orlovsky kind of using the same phrase, because we know he listens to this show, that we've been using the whole morning. Uninspired is what we've seen so far from Cam Ward and the Titans offense.
Fair word, yes. Dan Orlovsky, typically, I'd say, tends to be positive, tends to be a supporter of quarterbacks.
I would agree.
Turning into a little bit of a Cam hater. What does it mean?
I would agree. All right, let's get to the part of this that really has nothing to do with the football team that bothers me a little bit. And a friend of mine pointed this out at the game last night. So I did not go to the game last night. I watched it on TV. But a buddy of mine was there. And he's like, isn't it kind of weird that they've gone through all this like rebrand? So they've done their logo rebrand. They've got new jerseys, which, by the way, look very good. The home jerseys on the field last night I thought looked great. But you got a new logo. You got new jerseys. You got a new stadium coming. And it just kind of feels like you're trying to step away from like the old Greek mythology stuff. And you're kind of leaning away from like that look and those jerseys. And yet, we still have to hear this ridiculous, stupid, ow, 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 after every time they pick up a first down. Like, does anybody want that? Does anybody want like the Sparta chant going on after the Titans pick up a first down? And if we're leaning away from the Greek mythology stuff, well, take that away. Why are we leaving that when we're getting rid of everything else?
That's interesting. I never would have made the connection of uniforms with that thing, but you're right. I mean, they are. They're going like, I guess, post Oilers now instead of Titans.
Also, after I know that there hadn't been very many first downs, so maybe people aren't as tired of it as you probably could be. But after about the fourth one of those, I'm like, okay, can we stop with that? Let's come up with something else after they get a first down.
So the first time I ever heard that was at Michigan State, because of course they're the Spartans, and I think they still do it. Because it was after the movie came out.
300.
Yeah, after 300 came out. So they do it before a third down for the opponent.
Okay.
So it's like the big third down, third and nine. And then they say, so it's like you're trying to freak out the opponent. Here it's if you get a first down.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know. Do people like that? Like, if you are a Titans fan who goes to games, do you enjoy taking part in that? Do you enjoy listening to that? Or would you like that to die?
Well, I just don't understand. Like, if you're going to get away from like the Greek mythology stuff and your uniforms and your branding, I'll just leave that one though. We'll just leave that on third down.
Every first down seems a bit much, right? Like, how thrilled are you going to get for every single first down? Oh, it's third and one. And you get a 1 yard run. Are we supposed to be like super enthused? First down, like every time.
Are selective, it's hard to, You kind of have to
all or nothing.
There's somebody though in the stands though, maybe multiple somebodies that every time that thing comes on, they're just standing to their feet and just going, "Ow! Yeah! First down! Way to go!"
I mean, you can hear it, so there's definitely some participation. We got a texter who says, "I want to keep the chant." So, okay.
Those two things don't add up to me.
Yeah, well, they also have like, they had a beaver as a raccoon for You know, so I mean,
by the way, I didn't see any photos of that last night. Was the new T-Rack out there and available, or are they saving that bad boy for the regular season?
I don't know.
I never saw him on the broadcast.
Never saw him in the broadcast. Yeah. We had everything else. We had, you know, Carissa Thompson and Julian Edelman, you know, talking about Broadway cowboy boots, and Mike Pereira's talking for a half hour straight about his favorite rules in the NFL. But no T-Rack. T-Rack gets no love at all.
Yeah, I need somebody to tell me who was at the game last night whether or not the new T-Rack was out there invisible, or if they're saving that for the regular season.
Let us know. Did anybody see T-Rack? Did he fist bump Andrew?
Final thoughts on the Titans preseason game yesterday. Preseason game number 2, a 19-16 win against the Seahawks. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This Friday, come hang out with us at T-Line in West Nashville as we celebrate 102.5 The Game's 15th anniversary. Also, we have gifts that will be given away every hour starting at 6 a.m. Preds tickets, Vandy tickets, concert tickets, and more. Be sure to stop by T-Line. Get signed up for a chance to win Nashville Predators season tickets. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/birthday. We have had people on the text line today point out that hockey season not that far away.
Yeah,
after
we
watching
have.
The yesterday.
That will be a totally fine, happy time.
Yeah.
No complaints.
No questions about them heading into the year.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
Nothing but winning.
Let's welcome in. By the way, T-Rack, multiple people have pointed out T-Rack was out there last night, visible. Some debate as to whether or not it was creepier in person.
Matthew says yes.
So, good to see. Work out some of the kinks.
I mean, again, whenever I see a raccoon during the day, I get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Was a night game last night.
That's true.
True.
So we might be okay on the rabies.
But now, that's it for primetime for the entire year. So
better get that coffee ready to go if you're going to watch the Titans the rest of the year, because that'll be when it happens. Yep. Let's welcome in Luke to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Luke, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, I totally agree with you on the Spartan chant on first downs. I think it's pretty funny, and I think – we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot when we don't get more than 2 first downs and a half, right? You're missing out on the whole opportunity to make it a big deal. And for what it's worth, I'm a little still confused by the Titan up chant. Like, are we making that a slow clap cadence? I don't think anybody really knows what we're supposed to do when they're trying to get us into that. But I'm with you there. The one thing I did want to say about the game last night is my biggest concern is not so much the play on the field schematically, you know, with it being a preseason game and all that. I think it's the discipline out there. I feel like that's a culture thing, right? You've got a touchdown called back with a penalty. You got an interception called back with a penalty. You got a bunch of third down stops with taunting, face mask, illegal contact, and PI. You know, it's tough being a young, inexperienced team, and then you can't get out of your own way. And I wonder what level of accountability that's going on there when that's happening. Because if you take those away, dude, I think the score looks totally different. And hopefully they can work on that the rest of the way. Well, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it. Yeah, like, first off, some of the penalties, I mean, the Kinsey one's a perfect example. I mean, it just has no bearing on the play. There's no reason to be doing it. Like, Oladejo had – that was the most violent face mask I think I've ever seen. That face mask call. Like, I thought he ripped his head off. I was like, good grief.
That was intense.
I mean, and you know, to some degree, face masks, you know, they're going to happen. It's a mistake. You're trying to make a play, whatever. You know, the illegal contact penalty we've talked about that took the interception off the board, I thought that was a horrible call. Like, I think it was a bad call on Flott.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a mixed bag on penalties.
Yeah, when you talk about discipline with penalties, to me, it's undisciplined penalties. Like, you're going to have a holding, you know. I mean, especially if you're a bad offensive lineman. A bad offensive lineman got called for holding. So I don't look at that as like a culture discipline thing. Now, you could look at Cedric Gray and you could either think, now there's an example of, you got called for taunting and you screwed yourself over. Now, I would also look at that and say, really? That was a 15?
You gave two thumbs down.
But that kind of a play is what you're talking about. Also, as Terry McCormick asked Sal about the penalties last night, and the Titans had 11 for 100. Well, the defending Super Bowl champs, whose backups kicked your butt, had 14 for 129. So that's 25 penalties for 229 yards between the teams, more for the Seahawks. So is that both teams undisciplined? Is that the refs going a little nuts, maybe?
There is. I do think a little bit of a ref show happens in the preseason. And yeah, some years it's because they're trying to overemphasize one thing in the preseason, so they try to knock it out of you by the time the regular season comes around. I don't know that this is that, but I just think, you know, it's preseason for the refs too. I didn't think yesterday was a particularly well-officiated game. So, I don't know, like preseason flag. It just feels like every preseason football game there's a ton of flags out there. I don't have the stats behind that. That's just from the preseason football I watch. It always feels like there's a flag fest out there to some degree.
Like a few years ago, getting people ready for some of the QB roughing limitations that they were raising the ball.
Well, I remember the false start thing they tried to emphasize a couple years ago, where like if you're the right tackle, that first game or this Kansas City, it's just
he was just like he started a second before
everybody else every time. Like they tried to emphasize some of that. So in the preseason, they were throwing false start penalties all over the place. It's just like okay, so I feel like by the time the regular season comes around, they relax on that and they just call games like they always do. But it always kind of does feel like there's a flag fest in the preseason.
Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, I think poor play, uninspiring play, lack of talent, these are things that I'd worry about. I don't know that I see like a culture discipline thing right now. Again, we'll see. I mean, they're getting in fights in the joint practices, but doesn't everyone?
Yes. So
I will say someone has made a point. We have talked before about we're comparing preseason games to joint practices. What's more important? Well, joint practices are more important. Because that's one versus one. Darnold played in those, right? So the Titans did, apparently, played really well in that joint practice. Then the preseason game, they stunk in many areas. So what's more important?
I don't know. I mean, I hear you on the joint practice thing. It's all preseason. So at the end of the day, how much does any of it really matter? I just – at some point, regardless of if you're a joint practice, a practice against your own team – you're going to have to be able to take something and carry it over to an actual game. I mean, that's going to have to be what it is. And so far, through six offensive series, they just looked blah out there. And sometimes they just look bad out there. So that's that part of it's got to change. And I will say, like, the defense, I'm not worried about Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not worried about John Franklin Myers. And, I don't know what to think of, like, the guys coming off the edge and what that's going to translate into from a pass rushing perspective heading into the year. I am worried about the secondary, like just flat out. I'm worried about the secondary that it could just be bad back there. And if that's the case, I mean, the Titans, they're just going to struggle on defense. And then we're probably talking about four or five wins. And it's like, oh, great, cool.
You're going that high?
Oh, maybe not.
Very optimistic of you. Yeah, I still believe that the formula for this team is going to be running the football, playing good defense. Hey, Joey Sly, that's a big deal.
Keep it going.
It really is. Like, if he's going to get on a heater this year and you can feel good at the 40 and in, I mean, that's like they're going to have a lot of field goal opportunities this year and probably not as many extra point opportunities as you want. So I think that's the formula, is to win 19 to 16 games and 23 to 21 games. But yeah, if the secondary is going to be a mess, then that's not a great thing when that's how you're going to have to win games.
No, so that part of it kind of freaks me out a little bit about the Titans. Look, bottom line is there's a lot to work on between now and that Jets game, right? I mean, that's clear. There's a ton that they're going to have to get better at over the next couple of weeks. And I know it's the Jets, but I mean, we're starting to get to the point where you start to kind of turn one eye to that game, and it's like, all right, it's not that far away. We've officially reached that point of camp here, and there's a lot of work left to be done.
But first, another exciting joint practice and preseason game.
We do have a little bit of NFL breaking news here from Jordan Schultz.
Okay.
The Browns have named a starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah?
It better be freaking Shador.
It's Watson.
What?
Oh, boy.
Are you kidding
me? Shador will be the backup.
Dude, Todd Monken is I've wanted to root for Todd Monken, even though he sounds just like Marty Funkmeyer
per Jordan Schultz. So I don't know if it's from the team exactly, but he's putting that out there.
Nice. What are they doing? Oh, my. That organization. You know what, Titans fans?
Yeah, take solace,
take heart.
Man. Yeah.
Take heart that you are not a Cleveland Browns fan. I mean, how tone deaf can you be?
Also, like, have you watched him play
good.
Football?
He's not good
one
at
thing
all.
If he was good, good grief.
I mean, like, again, it's a preseason game, but like Shedeur Sanders, he played better than him the other day. He's young. He's not just a completely delusional weirdo.
I'm sure that'll go over well. I'm sure that'll be nice.
Yeah, that's going to be well received. Talk about the mistake by the lake.
Woo, boy. That does it for us today. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next.